listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Josh Mangelson. And with me today is a panel here at World Conference of Women that help with the translation process for conference. So I'm just going to go round table and introduce the two women that are with me that will be a part of this episode. So with me is Erenui Tapava. She's from French Polynesia, or Tahiti, and she translates English into Tahitian. If you could say hi to everybody.
Yorana! It's in my language, Tahitian. Bonjour, hello!
And then I also have, from India, Joshna Gomango. So with this episode, I just want to talk about the individual faith expressions that are found in Community of Christ in different countries as they're found around the world, specifically for this episode, Tahitian and from India. And then I also want to talk about translation process and what it must be like for God to try to convey a message to us and what barriers that might present with our understanding based on the language that we speak. So let's start with Erenui. I just want to know a little bit about you, your background, your experiences growing up in the church, and then more specifically, what the church is like for you in Tahiti.
For Tahitian people, we cannot live without church, whatever if it's Protestant, Catholic, Community of Christ. I think in Tahiti we are one, and we used to have activities together. On my small island, the name is Tikehau. When we have activities from the church, Adventist, if they have, for example, a wedding, all the members of each religion come and help. And the same way for the other religion. And I think that it's the expression of God loves to help each other. It's in my little island, Tikehau. And it's the same way to each little islands. We live that kind of expression of God loves.
What was it like for you growing up in Community of Christ?
For me, it's like a family, it's like a rock. We say that in Tahitian, Papa. It's like something, yes, like a rock, and you cannot take off. And if you go away, it's like, I feel bad. I'm not okay because I need my family. I need that relationship with a Community of Christ. I can live without. And for me, it's more than the families because each person take care of each person. The relationship is not between us and God, it's between the members, between human race, because we have a lot of, in the church, in Tahiti, we have a Chinese community, we have a Baumoto communities, you have a Marquesan community, and we are one to share our love to God. We worship together, and in our own language, sometimes we sing together,
That's the thing about Tahitians that I've learned with this World Conference is Tahitians love to sing.
Yes.
Love to sing.
Yes.
They're always singing everywhere.
Yes, of course. I have an example. We went to order our glasses and we come inside the store and we start to sing together and the people look at us and they saw that, oh, you come from French Polynesia? You used to sing everywhere? Yes. Because it's our way of life. And the revelation from President Prophet TVZ, he says in the last paragraph, 6a, in his last revelation, he says, oh, don't talk about Zion only, but leave Zion. And in Tahiti, we sing, we talk about, and we leave Zion. It's our way of life. We can be very, very close to God by the melody, by the music. You have the waves, the music of the waves. You have the music of the wind. And in the trees, you have the birds, all the nature around us. It's a worship to God. And our voice, it's only to help us to worship Him, to be close to Him. And it's our message to the people who heard of our voice to say, God loves you. God is just close to you. He's waiting for you.
So I want to know a little bit about the church. Is there a lot of members in Tahiti?
We are 8,000.
8,000? Is that one island or is there multiple islands?
We have 5 archipelagos in French Polynesia. The main island is Tahiti, but you have les Îles du Vent. You have Tahiti, les Îles sous le Vent, we call it Rarotonga, under the wind. You have Tuamotu Islands, you have Marquesan Islands, you have les Îles Gambier, and you have les Îles Australes. We have 5 archipelagos, and in all of the islands, we are 8,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And have you been in Community of Christ your whole life?
They have cartoons in France. They call Obelix, and the Obelix is a cartoons. And because he fall in the big pan, and he became very strong, very big, and it's like me. All my family, my mother's side, they are member. We call that in Tahiti. We don't call RLDS. We call Sanito, means saints. Yes. And that's why we call Sanito. And when you talk about us there, we have to say Sanito. Then people say, ah, yes, Sanito. Now Community of Christ. And my mother's side, they are all members of the church. Yes, from, I think, 1844. And my father's side, they are Adventist. And my husband, he's Mormon. He was Mormon.
Right. But he joined with you?
Yes. More than 10 years now.
Okay. Let's also talk with Joshna about your experiences growing up in India. Just talking with you, preliminary discussion before we started this episode, you also mentioned that you were born and raised in Community of Christ, that you're multi-generational, that your grandparents joined. And I just want to know a little bit about what Community of Christ is like in India, where you're from, and what that expression looks like.
Okay. You just help me, I just want to make your question clear,
right,
so I can, respond the right answer. So you're asking me about my experience in the Community of Christ.
Right.
Means how I grown up there.
Right.
Mm.
What Community of Christ looks like in India.
Yeah. In India, we have, I belong to a tribal group. And in my place, we are living in a southeast place called Odisha. And there are two tribes. One is Sora and one is Kui. We can found there our community of Christchurch. And our majority, we have 104 congregation in Sora and 60 congregation in Kui. Altogether, around 165 to 166 congregation we have in India, 20,000 people. And I also born in one community there. And when I born and brought up, I born in a community of Christ, so I have very good background. And I born and brought up with that rules and regulation, what they believe and their principles, all their things. And I have seen from childhood in a church, and what they speak, they do it in action. I have experienced this lots of things. So I would like to tell what was our condition before. When there was no community of Christ, I'd like to tell a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell. Because in my view, our faith and belief, I would like to tell. I was not there, but I heard stories from my grandparents. They were Hindu. Born and brought up in a Hindu family. They believed to sacrifice. They used to give, you know, sacrifice a lot of things. They used to worship many god and goddesses. Mm-hmm. And I think it is 1962 or 63, they start to come to, they came and shared about this community of Christ, but they did not accept. It means it took long time. And then 1966, community Christ was introduced in that place, and they started to understand and they start to believe. When we did not accept our situation, I like to tell how we were. And that time, that tribal people, they don't know how to wear good clothes and they did not know how to eat good foods and how to live the livelihood. But when this church came and introduced, and we learned how to wear good clothes and how to talk, how to speak, and how to live our livelihood, and with that as well as, and then we started to study and learn education. We become more familiar, and we used to live only in that society. We never come out from that. It's like a jungle. We stayed there, and we used to go for hunt. They used to eat from there. They used to wear as clothes. They will kill tiger or bear, and they will take out their skin. And with that skin, they used
their fur.
So our life was like that. We don't know how to speak and which language to talk. But this community of Christ, when it came to that place, you know, we had very tremendous change there. And we learned everything, means a lot of things it changes in us. Then we learned how to devote God, and we came to know there is one living God, and how to believe and what to worship. And especially the things which was touched in my community is the 9 principle and 5 mission initiative. It's really changed our life, and we love the sacraments and the doctrine which they believe and which they do that beliefs, and this all things change people a lot. And now it's changed. Still there are area we don't have electricity, good communication, no roads, nothing. But people, they used to walk here from miles, and they used to come and attend our convention and conference, everything. And it changed a lot. And now the people, they learn to worship God. They start to believe, and their faith is very strong in community of Christ. And their love, the speciality in community Christ is their administrative and what they believe, their doctrine and how they do it. We love that one. So I also like so much that principles and the mission initiative and all the doctrines. It touch our heart. It taught us who we are and what is our identity and what is our mission and what we are believing. It gives us a unique identity among our people and among different denomination. Now they knew this community Christ has a special identity. We have our message. We have our beliefs. It helped us to understand. It made us. It molded us in a very unique way where we were living and now what we are.
So that helps people raise out of poverty?
Yeah. It helps. And also, we were really in a poverty, but when now almost it changed. We help each other. And if like to share one example, for example, we have different churches. If in our churches, if suppose we have different kind of people like rich and poor, some medium like this, if anybody is in need, for example, for operation or for anything, he need our help or for blood or for money or anything. Suppose he need in medical help or anything. If he or she don't have money or in that family, they don't have any help. In that church, in that congregation, all they will take money. It's not, they won't say, you have to give this much. No, anything. If they will give two-third of their money to, they will offer them because they want their community should stay and should be strong. So they give everything for the family, whatever they can do. So we help each other and we just make sure that everyone is okay in that community.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's really beautiful. The fact that we ordain women and allow women the highest responsibilities meaningful as a part of the faith expression for you, Joshna. And then I'd also like Erinui, if you could answer that after her.
Yeah, ordination is, in previous time, it was a little bit difficult for my place, though they give importance to all, but which background they born and brought up, it in the, for them, women's at that time, at ancient time, they were not very, you know, acceptable this contest, but now they have completely changed when they accepted this church, and now we have this ordination also. They believe the women can do ministry, they can ordain. Right. Yeah, because I myself is one example, though I'm not ordained in my church, but I do ministry. I'm working as a translator, as well as sometimes I help work in a church. Also, sometimes I give message to church if nobody is there. So, like, I can take the Bible classes and I can help them in lots of things. We can do that.
Right. How about you, Erinui? Is that a part of the faith that is attractive to people in Tahiti, that women can participate?
In Tahiti, when we start to ordain women from 1984, we have some people who are great, was a honor for us, because the women in our society, she's not at the, you know, the level is not very down. She have this, she do the same thing that the man, you know, in the coconut forest. You know, she go to take the coconut fruits.
Coconut plantation?
Yeah, in the plantation. She go to fishing too. She do fishing. She do a lot of things the same way that the men do. And it wasn't a problem for us, but for some men, they believe that the woman have to stay at the place. And because the woman, you know, when they speak, they speak. I don't say that the men don't do the same things, but they speak with the heart from the bottom of the soul. And they touch a lot of hearts in Tahiti. A lot of women was ordained and they work, they have the ministry in the church. A lot of pastor and financial officer, most of them women in Tahiti.
Right. I'm just to kind of like compare to what, because in Community of Christ, our faith differs on an individual level, what we might believe or not believe. And I know you can't speak to, like, collectively everybody from your country, but I'm just going to throw out a couple terms, and we'll just go from there as far as what you would think that term would mean for the people in your country. So, faith. What would faith mean for people in India?
In India, faith means something that, according to Bible, we can't see it, but we can experience it. So, yeah, we can feel and experience. And faith in my church and my congregation, if once they came to know that Christ, they are very strong in their faith, in their belief. When we converted from that time to till this time, we have a strong faith in our God. So, we don't become backslide after that. because we have that faith. It may be divide, it may be separate, there may be some issues, but we still remain in God with that kind of faith we have. There may be a lot of consequences we can see among people and everything, but apart from this, what faith they have in previous and the same faith they carry till throughout their life.
How about in Tahiti?
Our faith.
What does faith mean? Yeah, same?
Same. We experience our faith not only by, because you say that we are people who love to sing, but in the song we can sing our faith and we can talk about our belief, our mission. And it's not only sing, but in the same way we do. And in Tahiti, some people told me, oh, you're very kind. Oh, I can see you grew up in one religion, but I think that maybe you're Community of Christ member. So how you can know? They can feel, they can read on the face of the people by their kindness, by the humor, because we're not very Speedy Gonzales. We can be, but we are very kind, we are very humble, and we live our faith, we live our belief. Our mission initiative is not only in the church, but out of the church, we live it, and it's our expression for our faith.
Community. What does community mean in India?
Yeah, means like how we maintain, means how that community, people they live there, how it's is going on about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think in my community, in my church, to maintain the unity, we have to maintain the discipline. I think we have some rules and regulation we follow. You know, we have to do this and certain things we should not do and some things we have to do. According to that, we used to follow and maintain our community as a unity.
Yeah, right. Okay. What does community mean for you?
Unity in Christ. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to be one in Christ, but we love so much to be together, to worship together for Him. Community is more than to be together. It's a unity. We translate in Tahitian, au tahi. It means that we love to be together for Him. It's not that, community is not like we wear the same dress, we think the same way. No, in our diversity, we are one to praise Him, to worship Him. And you can feel it, you can see it at church or in family, when family worship Him. You know, we put out the door other things who separate us, who divide us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And voila.
Voila. How about Christ? What does Christ mean for members in India?
Means, Christ means, if He is a good example for me, and I mostly, I like Christ, I always take Him as a good example for my life than any other human being. Because for me, Christ is a different than others. Because why I believe Christ very strongly, I have many experience from my childhood. I experienced God very uniquely and He have done a lot of miracles in my life. And still today, I have very great faith in Him. And because I don't see any human beings and believe their examples or anything, because sometimes if we trust them and we will take some of the good example, if they will do anything which is not good, then our faith becomes sometimes go down because we did not expect even they can do that. That's why I used to take only Christ as my example for my whole life, and his life, his ministry, what he did for us, and his teachings and everything is a very good and very good example for me in my life. I have a lot of experience about him. Until I'm learning how to become, grow more in faith and how to grow very close to God.
Yeah. How about you, Arina?
Christ and Tahiri means more than a name. He's the one who God gives for our sins. He's the example who we have to follow. He's our friend, our counselor. He's the light in the darkness. Because sometimes in our life we can go down, and he's the voice who come and tell us, hey, stand up, be strong, and go. He's that voice that you can hear from the wind, from the waves, on the reef. He's that voice who come from the bottom of your soul. Christ is more than that, the name, just Jesus Christ. We have to follow all the things that he says in the Bible, and everything that is done, he done for people, he good example for us. We have to follow and we have to be like him. I don't say that we have to be on the cross, huh? No, huh? But some way, you know, in our life, it's look like a cross. The difficulties that we find, it look like a cross. And sometimes I say to myself, Jesus, if it was you, what you will say, what you will do? I make my prayer, and sometimes I know at that time what I can do for that kind of things, that things, that thing. It look like, you know, my father, it's more than 10 years now, he was lost on his boat, because the boat was broken on the sea, yes, so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed just into a little box, and the shark just go around him, and he give the fish that he catch, he give for the shark, then the shark can go away. And when we found him, he was between two islands from Mo'orea, because it's the island just in front of Tahiri, and between Mo'orea and between Mai'o. He was just in a little box under the sea, under the ocean. And he told us that he saw for the first time, like the prayer, because he believed in Christ. But, you know, he's not like my mom and me. And that time, he looked the sky, and he saw the prayer, Notre Père qui est aux cieux. And he make his prayer. And that time, he think about Jesus. Jesus, when he was on the cross. And at that time, he say in himself that he's ready to go. He's ready to be like Jesus, to give his life. And at the time, he told us that he know who is Jesus. The love that he gave for his people. The love that God gave by Jesus to his people.
So I'm guessing it turned out well for him. He got back to shore.
Two boats found him.
Yeah. So what does revelation mean for each of you?
Revelation means something God is revealing us, what is going to happen in future, like that. Or he's speaking to us to speak to somebody, revealing. That's what I believe revelation means. It's kind of like a prophetic word or prophetic vision or something like the for a mission, something like that. It's like a revelation which is revealing some of the things to us.
Okay.
For me, Jesus always talk to us by the revelation. He guide us by a revelation because he know that we need his presence. We need his
guidance.
His guidance.
Guidance.
Yeah.
Yes, in this world. And that's why it's made for us.
Okay, I just want to transition now and talk more about this specific conference and what your role is as far as translating, what that's like, and if there's any difficulty translating. So how have you been enjoying conference? If this is your first conference or not? Is this your first conference, Joshna?
Yeah, this is my first conference, and I'm enjoying also experiencing new things in my life, and lots of things I learned from this conference. I'm translating lots of things, and something is new for me. Also, it's something, a new message to convey to them. And it's really very good experience and something very interesting for me.
What language are you translating into?
I'm translating Oriya language, English to Oriya.
Oriya, okay. And how many, so you said there's about 20,000 people that...
Yeah, there are 20,000 people in there, back my home, because... But here we have only 10 from India delegates. Because it's for us, it's very difficult to get the visa. We don't get visa to come here. It's a very hard.
Difficult process.
Yeah, it is a very difficult
process. So you're translating for the 10 delegates here?
There are 7 delegates who speaks my language, who understand Oriya.
Okay.
For them, I'm translating. And 3 are from southern part, which is Tamil Nadu. They speak Tamil language, so I don't know that language. Because India is like, you know, many culture, many language people to speak.
It's really diverse.
It's a diverse culture, so... I do only for 7 people I'm translating.
Dialect.
Yeah, dialect.
So, Harry Nui?
Yep.
You been to conference before?
Yes. 5 times.
5 times, wow. So, I'm guessing you've been translator before?
Yep.
And how's that as far as an experience?
Good experience.
So, you're translating into Tahitian,
yes.
Right?
Oh, and I listen in both languages, in... Sometime in French, sometime in English, but if it's too fast for me in English, I switch in French, but if sometime in French is too long, I do always that, and I try to do my best to understand first and to translate in my own language, and because I want people, we are 150 delegates, I want them to understand the best way, the all the things that we can hear in the conference.
Is it hard?
It's hard when it's very fast.
So that's like the common thing that we hear out there all the time.
Yes.
We're going to have to ask people to slow down.
To slow down. And when we don't have a script very early, it's hard to know, you know, where is that the page, where is the... because like yesterday, they have some resolution, it's in the bulletin, but they have some... You have to go to see the bulletin from Saturday, from Sunday. Sometimes it's very hard, and you have to run to make the copy for your delegates.
Do you ever get the feeling that sometimes maybe... You didn't understand what was being said and it was hard. You didn't, weren't able to convey that message to the people you're speaking to?
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes because there are some of the things like financial and other things. For me, it's very difficult because this is the first time I'm doing simultaneously. Otherwise, I have done side by side and written documents, so I have not experienced this kind of thing. So
I'm just listening to it and then
switching at the same times, and you know, speaking, it's really difficult. But if I don't understand some of the part, I just say them. I didn't understand. Please bear with me. And then later times, I should make sure the part which I didn't understood, those who did not get it, I should make sure that they have understood that part in later times. Sometimes it happens, some dialogues I don't understand. If they use any sayings, something like that, I don't understand. Means I understand, but I don't know how to put it into translate into Oriya.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it's really difficult.
It's very hard.
Yeah, yes. It's very hard.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that there's times in your life that you felt like you understood something perfectly? It's like an aha moment, like clicks for you, but then you find it impossible to put it into words?
Yeah, there are times. Exactly. Even I understood and I know that, but it was going on just, I don't have time even to put it, but I just say them, you know, it's very interesting things. If I get time, I'll let you know about it. Because there is no other option. If I say like this, they also understand my situation and my feelings because it is the first time and they also understand English. So it is just go like that.
I just want to interject and say that my own personal beliefs is that no language is perfect and understands the truth perfectly, and that every language comes short to being able to fully convey the truth that God would have us to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we try our best.
Yes.
When I was thinking about it, I was looking at the flags down there, and I saw the flag for Britain, for England, and then all the other flags that came after the English flag. Some of them that are now known as the Commonwealth, they have the English flag within their flag. So it's just like a little English flag and then the bigger flag. And I thought that's a good symbol of what it must be like for God to convey to us what God would have us to know. I'm not saying God is England. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like when you look at the other flags, whether they be New Zealand, Australia, or other flags that have the British flag in it. That's kind of like us, that we understand part of God, but then we also have our own cultural understanding too. And it's kind of a mix. And I think we try our best. I would only imagine, because I speak Spanish, how hard it would be in real time to try to flip and speak to everybody on the conference floor what is being said. But I brought up the word revelation, what it means to you, how hard it must be for God to convey to us what God would want us to know. And that's why I kind of believe in continuing revelation, is that maybe we've learned something new, but we're not there yet. So God just continually moves us to the message that God wanted us to know from the beginning, but we try. So I don't know if you want to speak to that just a little bit, and then we'll finish up.
I'm lucky for this conference. We are a lot of translators. They have a lot of help. I have my president, Lucia Pierre. She came and translated for the financial part. I have Pauline Niva. She came and help. I have Puna Teniau. I have Tateheu Richemont. I have Reyer Itama. All volunteers to come and help me. We make a schedule planning for translators. Then I'm not alone.
You're not alone.
I'm not alone. And it's like community in French Polynesia. You don't feel alone. You're in community. That's
right.
That's the unity. That's the way of life in Tahiti. We feel that community everywhere that we are.
So how about you, Joshna? Is it just you speaking or translating?
Yeah. I think for that 1 week leadership meeting and this whole week, I think I'm alone. And, you know, it's really hard sometimes. But every time when I come to speak, it's like, you know, it is like a training period for me. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like a learning. And it seems I'm thinking God is preparing me something to in a future for a good things. I know nobody is there and they don't want to come and do. So I don't want to force anybody. I think it's my responsibility and they're paying for me this. So this is what I have to do. It's even I love to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if sometimes it doesn't happen, but still, they support me for this, and I like, even though I'm alone, sometimes I need someone to be here, you know, at least for 10 minutes, at least 15, at least half 30 minutes. But it never happened. But I'm so much happy, and I enjoyed my responsibility. This is my responsibility, which I love to do. So it's okay, but we have very strong unity with us.
A good team.
Yeah, we are a good team.
A very good team that helps out. Maybe that could be a message. It's better to be in community to help each other out, understand. Mm-hmm. Just in faith, as far as what God would have us do too, have other people help.
Yes.
Not just rely only on our own understanding. All right. Well, thank you very much, Joshna, and also Harry Nui.
Thank you to you, Josh.
It's been a real pleasure to sit down with you and speak about the countries that you come from and that you're helping out here at conference and translating and helping the people on the floor that are delegates.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you to you.
Thank you, Joshna.
Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ. The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ.